This is the State of Things broadcasting from Blue Ridge Public Radio in downtown Asheville. I'm Frank Stacio. For many veterans, grappling with the aftermath of war can be a challenge, and talking directly about their service isn't always an easy solution. So a group of Vietnam vets in Asheville have turned to writing. They meet regularly at the city's Veterans Affairs Medical Center to write about their time in the military, and this writing group has opened doors for other vets, allowing them to process their experience through poetry and prose. The group from Asheville published a book earlier this year. It's called Brothers Like These. They're going to read excerpts from their writing this Sunday, October 7th, at the Asheville Community Theater. Joining me now is Ed Norris and Stephen Henderson, both Vietnam veterans and both part of this writing group. Ed and Stephen, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And also with us is Elizabeth Haney, a therapist and co-facilitator of the writing group. Welcome back, Elizabeth.
Thanks, Frank. Glad to be here.
It's good to have. Stephen, let me put my first question to you and tell me how you were introduced to this writing group.
I was actually introduced to it by my medical doctor at the VA, Dr. Kelly, and he called me at home and told me that they would like to start this poetry class. And I'll be honest, I told him I'd try it, but I didn't think it would be a good thing personally. And after we met for the third time, I was hooked on it. It was fabulous, and it has really helped me a whole lot.
Were you a writer, a poetry fan before this?
Neither.
Why did he think? I mean, what were you seeing him for, and why did he think this would be a good thing for you?
He was my physical doctor, and he also, you know, and being my physical doctor, he had my records. He knew I was, when I had retired, I started dealing with a lot of flashbacks and things coming up to me because I was a workaholic for years. And then I was having nightmares, and he had read a lot about this program and thought it might help me.
Was that workaholic part of one of the symptoms, or is that just something that was always part of
That's
you?
That's definitely one of the symptoms. Yeah. They say probably about 85% of the combat vets are workaholics for years and have certain issues that they don't even realize, and that's the way I was.
Ed, tell me about your experience here. Had you done much writing before you got involved in this group?
No. And Dr. Kelly also is my primary care doctor, and he's very into helping vets. And he didn't tell me it was a poetry class. He just told me it was a writing class, so I said, well, I was a little reluctant because I have problems in writing and in spelling. So I was very reluctant about it. But when I went a couple of times, like Steve, I was willing to do that because it was able to bring out some things that I didn't realize that was bothering me.
I certainly want to get into those and talk a little bit about it and hear your writing, but I want to hear about this transition you made. You hadn't done much writing. It's a bit of a barrier to think about some of the reasons that you might not want to write publicly. You said, I came back a couple of times. So something must have happened that first time that made you think, not so bad.
Well, I was in a group of other vets, and I heard their stories. And when you listen to other vets that have been to Vietnam, you hear them said things, you go, oh, yeah, I can identify with that. Yeah, that's why I feel, you know. And then all of a sudden, you don't feel alone. You realize that there are other brothers that are like you, and they're going through the same thing that you're going through. So therefore, you know, it's like, okay, I want to go back and see what else. Because it made me uncomfortable. I stepped out of my comfort zone, but yet and still I wanted to move forward because I've been involved with the VA for years. Because I got hurt in Vietnam, I got a hand grenade thrown on me. But the thing of it is that this group has been more helpful for me in being able to put down my thoughts and my feelings. And I went years without even talking about Vietnam. And now with this writing group, you can't shut me up because I'm willing to talk to you about it and how I feel about it and all the things that are going on with me.
Well, Elizabeth, tell us more because you're co-facilitator of this group. And I know you've had lots of experience in this area treating PTSD. Where does writing fit into all of this?
Well, I think the barriers that they're talking about when they first think, I'm not a writer, I don't know what you're talking about, it's just a way in to the things that have been packed away that they've never looked at, the burdens they've carried, the memories they've carried, the fears and the struggles. So writing is just one of the ways they can access that, and I admire their courage tremendously.
Well, Stephen, let me ask you about it. I want to ask both of you about this because Elizabeth talked about it being a way in, a way to access this. Ed's talking about being around people who get it, right, and just hearing their stories. But, I mean, if somebody came to me and said, Frank, the way that to help you is math. You're going to and you just don't know how terrified I am of math. I have to get over that and through the math to realize that it's actually helping. So talk about those first moments for you when you were doing something that maybe not anything you'd done before. What was it about writing in particular that changed things for you?
Well, basically, the first time we met, you know, there was a lot of poetry reading reading of stories and things, but then when it came down to it, you know, like Ed said, I was uncomfortable writing too, and so then all of a sudden they threw us a topic out, like the day before you went to Vietnam or before you left, you know, the States, and from there it just came back. And it was so clear, you know. Sometimes you don't remember what happened yesterday, but those things just came back. And as you put it on the paper, it just keeps coming back, and it gets clearer and clearer. And then you want to write more about it. So it, and then how it makes you feel when you do that. It's just, it's amazing. It's amazing how much pressure and weight it takes off your shoulders when you've been stressed for a long time about something. You know, most of the guys in our group are just like me. They haven't spoken of the war in 40-some years, almost 50 years. And now we're writing about it, and it's making it better.
Well, Ed, is that one of the things that makes it easier? I mean, it is hard to speak about it maybe in front of somebody who's looking at you. Is the anonymity, the privacy of writing maybe part of the reason it makes it easier?
Yes, it's very much so, because I didn't talk about it for years, and now that we have the writing group, you have to give me the shut up. It's called to give me the shut up talking about it, because I want to express my feelings and to share it with other people so they will have some sort of idea of what we've gone through and the fact that we were not accepted back home when we came back from Vietnam. And now, when we meet people and they know that we're vets, they say, thank you for your service, you know, and that is an experience of its own, you know, that I'd never been thanked before until 2004, and somebody came up to me and said, thank you. I said, for what? You know, for your service. Yeah, okay.
Oh, that thing that I was willing to give my life for,
right,
that thing?
Right,
yeah,
right, right, exactly.
Well, Stephen, you talked about the prompts and the prompt that you had and the one that moved you, and I think you're going to read a sample from it. And the prompt was the day before you left, right? Was that the prompt?
That's correct.
Can you tell us maybe a little bit more about that and maybe read an excerpt from us or read your section?
Well, this topic was thrown out there, and like I say, this is probably my favorite story because it brought back a day and a time that was so good and so bad at the same time. And so, you know, when I sat down and started writing this, it made me feel good. But it also was sad to me. And so I'll read that at this time. It was the day before I left home. My last day before leaving home was spent with my family at my grandparents' house. It had orange carpet, and my wife and I slept in the extra bedroom. We had spent my 30-day leave together. I depart the next day for survival training in California. After that, I was headed to Vietnam, to the war. My grandparents' house was beside the French Broad River, a familiar place I loved. I woke up not wanting to let go of my wife. She was pregnant with my daughter, which made it even harder to leave. It was early spring and the birds were singing. My mind raced. I had just lost my best friend 2 months earlier to the Vietnam War. My wife and mother were upset, knowing I was going to war. My grandfather, the only man in my life, was upset that I had joined the Marines. My wife and I got up to fix breakfast. My family was coming by to wish me goodbye. My grandfather's dog was on one side of me, my wife on the other. I talked with my mother about selling my 1968 Camaro SS350. Le Mans blue with a black vinyl top. It was my first new car. I wanted to make sure my wife and new daughter would have money. I was worried about them and my mother. We had a great breakfast, but it reminded me of the Last Supper. I asked my wife to walk out to the French Broad River with me. We talked a lot about how things would be when I returned. The river was muddy and running swiftly over the rocks.
As Vietnam veteran Stephen Henderson reading a piece, The Day Before I Left Home. He joins me with veteran Ed Norris and therapist Elizabeth Haney. Stephen and Ed will read from their work, and other vets will be there as well at the Asheville Community Theater on Sunday, October 7th. Stephen, you talked about the fact that when you wrote that, it just felt better. What was it like for you the first time you read that in public with your group?
The first time I actually read it in public was at the Asheville Community Theater. And I don't know, it just seemed to take a big load off my shoulders. And I had a lot of my family members and friends I'd never spoke to about Vietnam or the war. And it's from that point to today, I feel like they have a better understanding and of me, and also they have a even more respect for me. And so that makes me feel good. And also the response from the audience when the reading was over, people coming up to you that had served, people that younger vets that had served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and just people that thanked me for my service. And I'd never had that. And so it just really, really made me feel good.
Ed, I wonder if I can ask you to read your piece and maybe set it up for us and tell us about the prompt.
Well, Dr. Kelly had asked the question, what would healing look like? And I'd never really thought about that before. And so I wrote down what I felt healing would look like. And what healing looks like, and it's my dream, to wake up in the morning after a good night's sleep, to go a day without butterflies in my stomach, to feel safe without my back to the wall, to love freely and not worry about getting too close, to go a day without pain in my body, to go a day without feeling insecure about who I am, to trust people to be who they say they are, to be less controlling. This is my dream, and maybe someday some of these dreams will come true. Until then, I will keep on dreaming and hoping for the best. After all, I'm not the only one going through these things. You know, I have so much to be thankful for. My dream would be that all my brothers and sisters in the military will feel free of their pain, be it physical or mental. Never stop dreaming, for the better things happen in your life.
That's Vietnam vet Ed Norris. He's reading his piece, My Dream. He joins me with veteran Stephen Henderson and therapist Elizabeth Haney. Stephen and Ed are going to read from their work. They'll be with other vets at the Asheville Community Theater on Sunday, October 7th. We've got the information at our website, stateofthings.org. Ed, you talked about the fact that you had never really thought about this before. You get this prompt. What was it like to you when these thoughts started coming to you? They were always there, and now they're actually occurring to you. You know, you're thinking about them.
Well, it gives me something to look forward to and strive for, to be able to have these things and go into a place, and I consciously think about sitting down at a restaurant and having make sure that I'm facing the door. And now I intentionally sit with my back to the door just to get out of that comfort zone, because when I would go out to dinner with my wife or with other people, they say, okay, we know you want your back to the door. You know, well, see, now I'm breaking that by thinking about all these things and what healing would look like. Now I'm breaking that process and going, I'm getting out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
And the more I get out of it, the easier it is for me to do different things.
Elizabeth Haney, tell us how this is structured. What's the setup for these groups?
These guys meet once a month. They originally met much more frequently when it was Dr. Kelly and Joseph Bethanti, who was the poet laureate for North Carolina. They started the group and worked with these guys, gave them the prompts. Now we meet about once a month, and it's a matter of reading their writing, giving them prompts, and also just having time for them to talk to each other about the things that they've written about or things that they've been thinking about.
I know that you have worked with PTSD and you've worked with veterans for a long, long time. Where does this fit in the grand scheme of things? There are so many therapies, and I think, Stephen, you talked about the fact that this is more effective for you than anything in the decades since the war. Where does this fit, and does it work for everybody?
It won't work for everybody, excuse me, because some people, it's just not their way in, you know, to the things that they're carrying. But it will work for an awful lot of people if we can get them to try it. So for Dr. Kelly and Joseph Bethanti to start this group and put out the invitation and give these guys an opportunity to sit and write has just been remarkable.
Well, have you seen this? How have you seen this play out with other groups, and are there different outcomes, or can you give us kind of the scope? We've heard two, you know, sort of wonderful examples here.
I think some of the guys that I've worked with, they're happy to try something different because they've tried different kinds of therapies, you know, cognitive behavioral therapy or something called EMDR,
right,
or this or that. They've tried different things and they haven't found it effective. So if I can offer them something different like this, it, you know, maybe this is the match. I'm just always looking for veterans with what's the key. What's the key that's going to help open it up?
I'm going to ask you both. I've only got about 30 seconds for each of you, but the idea that had never occurred to me, I always thought about writing as expression, getting it out, and it always made sense to me, but you both said something I had not thought about, and that is that the people on the other end of this, that you now feel a deeper connection with them because they now get something about you that you feel they never got before. Am I right, Steve?
Oh, exactly. And I'm talking people of all ages, and I'm talking people that served before and people that's never served. I mean, I did a reading at the Asheville Arts Council, and the response was unbelievable at the grand opening.
Yeah.
And to have young people as well as older people my age to come up and to hug you and thank you and tell you how much they appreciated it. You know, when we came back from the Vietnam War, I mean, we were more or less shamed. We were put in a respect that we just never talked about it.
What was the biggest surprise for you, Ed? Was it that you were learning things about yourself, or that other people were learning things about you?
Well, it was a little bit of both. But when the book came out, I sent a copy to my son, and he let his son read it, and they both come back. Well, I didn't know that about you. And, you know, it was like there was information in there that I had never expressed to him. So, therefore, you know, it's like, oh, no wonder you act the way you do.
The grand explanation. Well, let me both thank you both for your service.
Thank
you. Elizabeth Haney, thank you for your great work as well and for being here on this program. Vietnam veterans Stephen Henderson and Ed Norris, part of a writing group in Asheville, Virginia. They published a book earlier this year called Brothers Like These. They're going to be reading from that book on Saturday in Asheville. I think that's October 7th. If we got it wrong, it's at our website, stateofthings.org. Anyway, you can see them at Asheville Community Theater. The writing group is part of the Asheville Arts Council's Arts and Wellness Program for veterans. Just ahead, a new podcast goes deep into the ethical issues of sports. Please stay tuned.